Often when we think about cruising, we think of exotic destinations far away. But if you're cruising the Caribbean, there's some great options real close to home.
Some call it the southernmost point. Some call it the Conch Republic.
I'm Billy Hirsch.
And I'm Rick Ross.
Today, we're talking about Key West.
You're about to set sail on the Cruise Habit podcast, an audio voyage through the world of ships, ports, and beyond. Welcome aboard.
If you've tuned in to some of my Periscope broadcasts or you've read on cruisehabit.com before, you may have caught some of my rants about visiting Key West, because I love Key West. But getting there by land, even as someone who lives in South Florida, can be a real pain. There's one road in and out, constant changes in speed limits, a lot of traffic lights. I'm not a fan. So I prefer cruising anyway. That's why for Key West especially, I only visit by cruise ship.
I have never visited Key West by car. I have only traveled by cruise ship. I'm open to the idea of flying, but to me, a cruise to Key West is just about the perfect way to go.
Yeah, and if you look into flights, it's not cheap. It is not exactly a massive airport with a ton of options, so you can probably cruise for cheaper. So if you are cruising to Key West, you're probably going to find this, for the most part, on either Western Caribbean itineraries or sometimes Cuban itineraries now. Before visiting Havana, for example, I've seen this tacked on a number of times. We should note that there are some inherent advantages just by being a U.S. port.
Yeah, one of the things that is great about Key West is that it's still in the U.S., so your cell phone package is going to work there at the speed you are used to with the data you are used to all throughout the United States.
Yeah, if you live in the United States or even in Canada, so many things are just going to be much more familiar. And listen, something not being familiar isn't a bad thing, but it's easy in that regard, right? Now, there's one thing that can kind of make it, I don't want to say not easy, but that is a little bit unusual because it's in the U.S.
And yeah, that's when Key West is whether that's your first port or your last port. So if it's your first port, you've left the United States from your port of embarkation, you get to Key West, you're still in the United States, no problem. Flip that around and you reverse your itinerary where Key West is your last stop. Let's say it's the first time you're coming back into the United States. You're gonna have to go through immigration.
Yeah, it's the good news is that is less common. It happens, but cruise lines know that people don't want to deal with this, don't want to wake up early in the morning and line up and, you know, clear the whole ship. It can be a pain. So it's not common that that happens, but it does happen. So if you're looking at two cruises, everything is identical, and one yeah. of them visits Key West first and the other stops in another country before visiting Key West, go for the one that visits Key West first.
Agreed.
Now, a lot of people are probably listening right now, and if they haven't been to Key West, and maybe even if they have, they're thinking, it seems very touristy, like a tourist trap.
It really looks like that in some of the videos that you may see about Key West.
And there's plenty of touristy things in Key West. Let's not for a moment would we deny that. A lot of, as I call them, schlock shops.
Yeah, a lot of tchotchkes, shot glasses, magnets, a t-shirt that's cheaply printed, all of those things. So that is absolutely there in Key West. But there is also an old historical side to Key West. It's been in existence for a long time. People have settled there. Really crazy people have lived there. So I like to think of Key West as a cake with frosting. And if you don't like the frosting, which is the tourist trap part, you can take it off. And there's still great historical cake underneath.
Absolutely. And you know, we could probably do an entire episode just talking about the history of Key West or leave that to, you know, historians.
Yeah, there are probably some people on YouTube more qualified.
Yeah. But, you know, if we're just real quickly highlighting, obviously, Ernest Hemingway, there's a lot of history with Hemingway living there. The Truman Little White House
yes.
is there. Other presidents have made it a frequent kind of vacation spot as well. But
Jimmy Buffett, if you want to go to a more contemporary kind of celebrity there.
I believe he's the president of Caribbean country rock.
You know, that sounds like an unofficial title, but he has earned it.
Beyond that, I mean, there's some weird stuff. Like Key West actually tried to secede from the United States because they actually put a border crossing in the Keys many years ago. That
yes.
was weird.
So the mayor of Key West at the time decided that the best way to handle this was to secede from the Union, establish the Conch Republic, immediately surrender to the United States and apply for foreign aid.
Yep. And believe it or not, that was never officially reconciled. So there are many people that still say that there's that they are kind of their own entity.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own flag. I looking around. I have one somewhere in here, actually. And you can pick those up at the tchotchke shops, but that's actually cool. And you spend a buck and get a Concord Public flag.
Yeah, that's a suitable souvenir, I'd say, for Key West.
It packs easily, too. So
yes.
That's a plus. So anyway, that just really scratches the surface on some cool history. There's some cool wartime history as well with Key West. And a lot of military activity.
Sure. I mean, the Cuban Missile Crisis would be one part that has a deep history to Key West.
It is 90 miles to Cuba from the southernmost point. One of the destinations we'll be talking about. So one thing I don't want to skip over, we started talking about the history. When you arrive in Key West by cruise ship, regardless of what itinerary you booked, you actually don't know exactly where you're going to be docking because there are two docks.
Right. There's one that connects to kind of the center of town, which is Mallory Square. But there's another one that connects to a somewhat distant Navy pier.
Yeah, it's a weird experience. There are other ports in the world that I've docked at places like this, but in Key West is not a big place. So you're like, oh, we're getting to Key West. How far could we be? And listen, you're not far. Everything's relative. But it is a Navy pier, and if you dock there, if you dock in Mallory Square, you're walking right into Mallory Square, which is like the heart of Key West as you see it in pictures.
Agreed. Like 50 paces, and you're now in the middle of town.
Yeah, it's really convenient. It's probably, if I was going to guess, we could have looked this up, but who does research? Probably like a mile and a half?
Yeah, like you could see it from there, but you couldn't sprint there.
Yeah, we've walked. I don't know if you were with me. We've made the walk from Mallory Square to the Navy
Pier. Yeah, that was when we went together.
But if you're docked at the Navy Pier, don't worry because they make it really easy. They run continuously. They run shuttles. Sometimes it's these Kong train things. Sometimes they're buses. Doesn't matter. You don't have to pay. The cruise line set it up to get you real quickly and easily from the ship through the Navy Pier, which is, for security reasons, restricted. You can't walk through the Navy Pier.
That's what I was going to say. The cruise lines don't just provide the shuttles. They obligate you to take the shuttle. You're not allowed to wander around on your own.
Correct. And that means it's the same coming back. So while these shuttles run continuously between Mallory Square, and the ship, if you end up walking around, you Uber somewhere, whatever the case may be, and you don't stop back at Mallory Square, you can absolutely meet one of these shuttles right at the entrance to the Navy Pier, but you cannot walk in the Navy Pier. Many, many, many people will make sure that you do not walk into the Navy Pier.
Right. There will be a team of people there wanting to see your ID, wanting to see your room key card for the cruise ship, and then there's a place for you to sit and wait until the shuttle arrives to drive into the Navy Pier.
Yep. Worst case scenario, you end up looking kind of like a hitchhiker and like waving at the buses they come in or something. So we point this out so that people aren't confused, but I want to make sure, in kind of closing this point, that you don't see this as any deterrent, because when I've ended up docking at the Navy Pier, like, do I wish I was in Mallory Square? Yeah, sure. But it's really not a big deal at all.
It has almost no impact on the trip.
Adds 5 to 7 minutes to your...
That's what I was going to say. It's a touch of extra time. Does not change your experience, really.
Yep. So there are a ton of excursions, like in many ports, but I want to cover what we see as some of the common ones, and also one in particular that I personally enjoy, not only in Key West, but in a number of cities. So to start off, we'll talk about the hop-on, hop-off trains. You may have seen these in a number of cities throughout the U.S. and other countries. I like national parks. When I see a hop-on, hop-off, I'm very inclined to do it because I find them just to be good value. Mm. And in Key West, there are several companies. The two big ones are Old Town Trolley and the Conk Train, I believe it's called.
Yeah, the Conk Train. Yep.
And the prices are always right about the same. Really, they're very similar ideas. I'm sure they'd love to talk about how they're different than each other. But really, same idea. You go around, and for about $40, I think they're up to, you can visit any number of stops. I think they stop every 15, 20 minutes. So if you hop off at one destination, it's never a long wait to get a train or tram or conk train or...
Yeah, and one thing I noticed is when a driver pulls up to a stop, if there are more people who can get on that particular hop-on, hop-off trolley, they'll radio back to their... Yep. Back to their headquarters and say, we've got more people, send another trolley to this stop. So they're very good about managing the demand on their transportation system.
Yeah, it's a well-oiled machine. Also, you can check out over on cruisehabit.com, we've got an article that talks about the pros and cons of booking a shore excursion through the cruise line versus independently through a third party. This is one interesting case where it's often cheaper to book those tickets through the cruise line. Not always,
And it's not just price that you should definitely check out price. But I had the odd experience of returning to the United States on Empress of the Seas, stopping in Key West as our first stop within the United States. So I had to go through immigration. Well, I had purchased the hop-on, hop-off trolley as an excursion through Royal Caribbean. So when it came to the line for immigration, we got put directly at the front of the line and we were next to go. That to me was worth at least half of the hop-on, hop-off trolley price right there.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. So this is why we say always evaluate your options, because as much as I look for great options in pricing, sometimes those great options in pricing are indeed with the cruise line. So that's something to keep in mind. You can also, if you're not booking through the cruise line, get a little bit of a break online sometimes.
Oh, yeah. One other thing about the hop-on, hop-off trolley is the people who are the trolley conductors and driving, they all have like these crazy personalities and
yes,
are definitely interacting and showing off this personality to the people on the trolley.
Yeah, you get like a tour guide.
Yeah, it's not just a driver, it's a tour guide.
Yeah, yeah. And one of them looks like Santa.
I was about awesome. To say, the time when we went in December, we had Santa as yes, our driver. He was great.
Delightful. Delightful. So when you... We'll talk in a moment about a couple of the different sites in Key West after we briefly touch on some of the other shore excursions that you can enjoy. Just know that pretty much anything you're going to want to do in Key West, there's a stop on Old Town Trolley or Conch Train that's within, you know, a 3-4 minute walk.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say
any of these sites, which is part of what brings the value. Because if I would have taken a cab to go to one of these places, I would have spent half the amount of money, you know, that for the trolley tickets anyway. And when you buy the trolley tickets, you sometimes get a discount to some of these other places. Like I think I don't know if they still do this. Ernest Hemingway's house, you get a couple bucks off if you get there on the trolley, stuff like that. So other excursions. Rick, have you done other excursions there, or have you just done that and then walked around?
I've only done the hop-on, hop-off trolley. I did that for both the times that I've been to Key West, and then just kind of made my own way around.
Okay.
Figuring it out on my own. Yep.
Cool. So I know Key West Aquarium is a popular one. It's you can either, much like the trolley, it's just a ticket kind of that you're buying. So you can buy it through the cruise line or independently. Or if for some reason you happen to be a Key West resident who's on a cruise that's stopping there, it's free.
Okay.
Then I've not been. I've heard good things. I know a friend of the show, Kat, she went actually on a cruise that we're on together, and you can check out that. I'll put it in the show notes, a link to a couple live blogs from when we've been to Key West. So that seems popular. There are bicycle tours, and I've thought about doing these bicycle tours. And then I saw something that made me never want to do one of these bicycle tours. Do you know what it is, Rick?
I have no idea. Please tell me.
So another friend of the show, Michael Poole, he did one of these bicycle tours. I've never seen someone sweat so much. And listen, Key West can be hot. It's an island, so there's a nice breeze. Sure. It can be really hot, though. Yeah, it looked like people would have had a good time if they air conditioned the island. I think somebody on his tour actually passed out.
Yeah, I could see if Key West got down into the mid-60s, I might do that. Maybe the lower 70s. But it's just not going to be that cool in Key West.
Yeah. Now, if it ends up being that cool, this could be an awesome option because Key West is not very big. It's very practical to bicycle around. Don't rent a scooter. Never do that in a touristy place.
Yeah, that's asking for a dislocated shoulder.
Yeah, I ride motorcycles, but don't rent a scooter when you're on a cruise. So let's see, what else? Oh, beach trips. I want to talk about that. So
not a ton of beaches in Key West, oddly.
No, and in fact, the Keys don't really have any natural beaches
right at
all.
Their sand is imported.
Yes, which is a bizarre concept in and of itself, isn't it?
Yeah,
I believe actually the way they built the beaches in Key West, they went to those tchotchke shops and they bought the little bottles with sand. And they just broke them all and then got rid of the glass.
Well, that seems inefficient, but yeah, that's a possibility.
Hey, I don't make the rules, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, there are some beaches in Key West. I want to say Higgs Beach, I think.
It was so not on my radar when I went to Distorilly and register.
Research. Yeah. Who needs it?
No.
But yeah, it's not that they're bad beaches, but my feeling is if you are on a cruise that's stopping in Key West, there's a very good chance that one of your other stops is going to be a place that has much nicer beaches. And Key West has lot of cool things to do outside of that. So you will see beach excursions where basically they say, yeah, we're going to drive you to the beach and pick you up. You're not going to last long there. Also, not a lot of shade. It's not like some other places where there are beaches and there's a bunch of restaurants really close by or shady places. So yeah, keep that in mind.
I could see that as save your beach day for a Cozumel or for a Grand Cayman day.
Absolutely.
Don't do beach day on your Key West day.
Absolutely. So some of the sites individually, it's funny, Rick and I, we're both from Florida, so some of these, I don't know how common knowledge some of these things are, like the Mel Fisher Museum.
Yeah, so Mel Fisher was a treasure hunter who went out, and he and his team have been very successful at locating sunken Spanish galleons and recovering the gold. And they get to keep some of that, and that's what you see in this museum. It's information about how do they go about locating where these ships likely are, how do they go about finding whether the ship's there or not, and then how they go about recovering all the artifacts. And it's artifacts beyond just the gold that's there. It's the cooking implements, anything that's been preserved.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. And the museum is walking distance from Mallory Square. It's basically in Mallory Square.
Yeah, it's like a block off Mallory Square. Yeah.
You can't miss it. A lot of signs. It is pretty cool. If you don't choose to stop there, or if you're just interested ahead of stopping there, if you search Mel Fisher, so many things, documentaries and other videos on YouTube, Netflix. Check it out. Pretty cool.
And the museum's own website.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I will say also in the Mel Fisher Museum, right next door, as part of the same building, they have a store. So if you're in the market to drop several hundred dollars, possibly thousands of dollars, on a piece of jewelry that is made with some old Spanish coin,
I know where you're going.
That's available.
Then check out shop.cruisehabit.com.
Okay,
I think that's
yes, all right. Yeah, you could do that, or stop by the gift shop at Mel Fisher Museum. They have other items, but they have an entire section that's just devoted to jewelry made from these items.
I would like a dingle hopper recovered from a ship. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes.
Okay. Wrong podcast?
You know, it's another market, I think.
What else? Where are we?
Hemingway House.
Hemingway House, yes. So Hemingway House, Rick, now you've not been there for good reason, if I recall.
Yeah. So one of the most notable things about the Hemingway House is the collection of cats that live on the premises. And these cats are all have the genetic mutation called polydactylism, which is the fancy science word for having lots of toes. So all these cats at the Hemingway property have 6, 7, maybe 8 toes on each foot. Doesn't cause them any difficulty in life at all, but it's just a little weird genetic inconsistency. The reason I have not been there personally is I'm terribly allergic to cats, and I don't really even want to be in the same premises with them.
Yeah.
So, love them, just can't be around them.
Yeah, that stinks. One day we're going to go there, like, put a particle mask on you.
Yeah, just shoot me up with some Benadryl beforehand. Keep a syringe on hand.
Because the Hemingway House is a cool spot. And when I say cool spot, by the way, interestingly, because it was built well in a time before air conditioning on a tropical island, there is no AC there, but gets a nice breeze. Not a bad way. You get it. It's you get out of the sun and you walk around. A lot of neat artifacts there. It's the guides there can tell you all sorts of stuff about the history of the house and Hemingway. You can see the cats, which, by the way, cats. I mean, the more toes they have, the more adorable. I think the internet agrees. Just a direct relationship there.
If you say so. Yeah. I mean, I love them. Just not going to get around.
I do.
Okay.
It should also be noted at the Hemingway House that you can see a famous urinal. I won't tell you more. Just look for that.
That's news to me, but okay.
Now you have to go.
Yeah, now I'm Googling that after we record the show. So Hemingway's not the only famous person to have made a home in Key West. President Harry Truman decided to build a White House or a residence in Key West where he could go for vacations. I don't know much more about it than that, but Billy, do you have anything else to add?
I'll be honest. I've been there a couple times, and there are neat little things to tell you about. Oh, who designed it and when he would come here and things that were going on at the time. None of it really stands out, and I don't mean to knock it as an attraction. Like, it's convenient. It's cool to see. You go, oh, wow, that's a neat and kind of unique thing. Hemingway House has there's more minutia to really love there.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying about all the weirdness that's in Key West. Probably the presidential house in Key West isn't the craziest thing. It also has this large housing community around it that was made to support, like, people from the State Department and maybe Department of Defense. I think there's restricted access, so one of the only ways to get into this area is to be on the hop-on, hop-off trolley.
Yep, that is correct. Let's see. Oh, Coast Guard Museum ship. So this is cool. I'm glad you put this on the list, Rick, because I wouldn't have, not on purpose. But so if you may have seen these, if you've cruised Alaska, you may have seen one of these. They have them in a number of different places. The Coast Guard will take old ships. Sometimes they're light ships. Sometimes they're other types of support vessels. And when they're decommissioned, they permanently moor them in a port. And Key West has one of them. And you can tour and you can see what it looks like to be someone that lives on one of these Coast Guard vessels and serves for a period of time. They keep a lot of historical stuff on there as well. And if you're familiar with the nerdy hobby of amateur radio, make fun of those nerds. That's me. Ken Jarvis.
I asked that question, like, why would a ham radio operator want to set up on a ship? And what Billy explained to me was, well, you've got a big piece of metal in salt water. That's a good antenna.
Along with the fact that it helps them preserve some of the radio equipment, because ships used to have radio rooms.
That's a good
point. There's a lot of hams that were in the military. So it's kind of a weird, quirky thing. So novelty there either way. But you get to walk through. You see the engine room.
Mm-hmm.
You see what the officer's quarters
look
like.
You see officer's quarters, the captain's dining room.
Yeah.
That was very interesting. Some of the places where they keep records on the ship, and they had the old kind of letter typing film where you would turn the dial and then squeeze the handle really hard
all the way back in 1992.
I know. When Billy and I went, one of my classmates came with us, and I'm sure he had never seen one of these. I'm sure every kind of label maker, that's the word I was looking for, a label maker that he'd seen was electronic, thermal, you type in the whole thing you want. And I said, oh no, in the old days we used to have a dial that you would rotate to the letter, squeeze, and then when you're all done, turn to the cut, and then really clamp down on it. So some really old at this point, outdated technologies, but all perfectly preserved in this Coast Guard ship.
I'm not sure that's the part I would have highlighted, but...
the funny part about this is, this was not on my radar, and I don't think it was on yours when we went, but no. This friend, the classmate who came with us, saw the Coast Guard ship as we were taking the trolley into Mallory Square, and he said, oh, I want to see that. I was not sold going up to it, but it's something after I had seen it, really glad that I took the time.
And it's really inexpensive. It's a few dollars that's essentially a donation to the organization of, I think, mostly former Coasties that to take care of these things. So
That was my sense. It was for a veterans organization of some kind.
Yeah. So that, there's that. Let's see. Southernmost Point.
Yes.
So
this is the photograph everyone has to get when they get to Key West.
And this is the photograph that, unless you've been there, you don't realize somebody waited in line forever so that no one else was in their photograph.
Right.
Unless Larissa and I went one time, it was like February, and it was we were the only people there. It was like, did they close? They don't close Florida. Okay, another obscure reference for the day.
Oh yes, I gotcha.
But yeah, Southernmost Point. Listen, it is touristy, but you kind of got to see it, right? You step off, you can get a very overpriced coconut from one of the vendors there, and there are a couple shops that sell Southernmost everything you could possibly imagine, from magnets to underwear.
Oh yeah, every shop you go into is gonna have some mile zero, mile marker, something, be it t-shirt, magnet, bottle opener, keychain, flip-flops, hat, I don't know, everything.
Southernmost rubber bands.
Right.
The zero mile marker for US-1, that sign was stolen so frequently, now it's secured up there in special ways, and there is a camera permanently looking at that because people kept stealing them.
Yeah. Yes.
But Southernmost Point, listen, it's cool. You're 90 miles from Cuba. It's a neat thing to be like, I'm at the Southernmost Point. There's a restaurant right next to there. Haven't eaten there. Seems to be a popular spot.
I think we went into the restroom there and used the Southernmost restroom in the United States.
If you wait until they're closed, then most of the ocean there is the Southernmost restroom in the United States.
Okay. But well, most cruise ships depart before sundown. So one of the other things that I saw when we were walking around the Southernmost Point was the differentiated trash cans. So many people are getting the coconut drinks there. All the trash cans are in sets of two, with one of them spray painted coconuts only.
Yes, it is like bizarro tropical San Francisco. with trash separation.
That is their recycling.
Yes. Yeah. Makes sense. I never thought about it before that, but it totally makes sense.
Absolutely.
Let's see. So, cars.
Oh, yeah. One of the things that... let me also say about the southernmost point. The hop-on, hop-off trolley is going to go right by there. So if that's something you want to see, hop-on, hop-off trolley is going to get you there, no problem. If you want to see it and not stop, hop-on, hop-off trolley is going to drive by it. So you can get a picture of it without getting off the trolley.
Correct. Correct. Good point.
One of the other things that I saw in Key West that was really crazy was when the trolley was driving around, there are about four or so cars in Key West that are just decorated with junk. It's just cemented, applied in some way. I think one of them, it's not actually junk, it's coral that's all over it. Just a weird thing that you can see in Key West. And
goes nicely with the weird people in Key West.
Right, right.
Unique, very friendly, unique folks.
That is kind.
I do want to hit a couple just stops to eat or grab a drink.
And now I'm going to jump on this first one because I think we are of the in agreement about going to Starbucks when you're outside the United States. So I'm going to say you shouldn't do that. You should be checking out local cuisine when you're outside of the United States. But when you're in Key West, you're still in the United States. You're allowed to go to Starbucks.
And there's one in Mallory Square. It's one of the only air-conditioned things that's free to get into inside of Mallory Square.
That's true.
So it's acceptable. We decided... We're making up a plaque.
Yeah.
I can't wait to present this to them next time we're in Key West.
It's allowable.
Yeah. Sloppy Joe's. I don't know if we've ever talked about this.
No, please go ahead.
All right. Unpopular opinion time. Sloppy Joe's. It's not even the original Sloppy Joe's. It's overpriced. It's there, I guess. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. I get a picture out front.
Yeah, for me, I liked going to the bar at Sloppy Joe's because that was very easy to walk up, get a drink, talk to the bartender there, the waitress there, and then left. So that was one of the things I did on my trip. It was enjoyable.
Sure. It's missing a urinal. Ooh, making connections across weird things in the podcast. Let's see. Key Lime Pie.
Yeah.
Can I talk about Larissa for a second?
Always.
So my lovely spouse... It's not from this country. We've lived in South Florida I've lived here all my life. She's lived here for quite a while. She only recently discovered that key limes are actually a different kind of lime.
Okay.
So, and maybe, you know what? I don't know. We're both from Florida, so recognize it. If you're listening outside, key lime pie refers to the type of limes that are used to make key lime pie. They're tiny little limes.
They are.
They grow on the Keys.
Correct. So, tiny.
Got that covered.
Well, they're tiny limes like the tiny key deer. Do you know of the key deer? It's a small species of deer that lives in the Keys. But they're tiny.
Do you squeeze them into a margarita?
No, I wouldn't do that. Okay. But you could do that with a key lime.
Got it.
So that's key lime is a kind of a cheesecake pie kind of thing that is very popular there. Lots of shops sell it. There's one that's going to claim to have the original. It's still pretty good.
Yeah, Kermit's is a real big place.
Kermit's, that's what it is, yeah.
I think do they do the frozen?
That's one of the options. Yeah. You can get them frozen, you can get them dipped in chocolate, which to me that's a bit much.
I love chocolate, but I'm kind of a purist with key lime pie.
Yeah.
Very polarizing, especially for people in South Florida, is whether you prefer sweet or tart key lime pie. Many lives lost. Many lives lost.
Well, then I better not reveal my preference. Send both.
You can tell me. Nobody's listening.
Tart,
yeah.
Yeah.
This is why we're friends.
Okay.
And we can still be friends. Everyone else, so sorry. Peppers of Key West.
Yeah. This is more your place than my place, although I had a great time when I was there. You tell it.
So I stumbled upon this years ago. I'm a huge hot sauce person. Not just hot sauces, because vinegary. I like spicy stuff. I enjoy finding new and exciting types of peppers and spice blends and things like this. And Peppers of Key West has been around for a while, run by a guy, I believe, named Pete Lagerty. And they sell nothing but spices, hot sauces, things that are spicy, and some things that aren't as well, seasonings and stuff.
Yeah, the hot sauces that they sell, they organize on a scale of 0 to 10. 0 being not hot at all, and then they've got a group of 1 to 3s, 4 to 6s, 7 to the 9, and then they're 10s, but they also have some 10 pluses. Their scale really goes up to, I think, 13 or something like that.
I believe it.
If you go in, and like Billy, he wants to sample, they insist that you start at the lower end of the spiciness scale, of the heat scale, and then they'll work you up. You'll start with the zeros. One of the things I had was a cherry pomegranate sauce. I thought that was pretty good. So I took a bottle of that home for my dad, and he's served it with like chicken and duck and things like that. Pretty good. Then they'll move you on to the 1 to 3s. And I had a couple of those, and that's about when I tapped out.
So I've done their tasting tour, if you will, several times, which is totally free, by the way. And they're really no pressure too. Like, and I think the reason I like this place and talking about it and telling people to go there, there are other hot sauce places that are like, okay, they have hot sauces. Again, not only do they have just more than hot sauces, but every single person that works there is incredibly knowledgeable about all of their products and about different types of peppers and stuff. And they're good talkers. It's a fun place to go. I know that sounds weird, but try it out.
Yeah,
even if you don't like spicy stuff.
Element.
Rick doesn't like spicy stuff.
Don't care for it.
Tasting is free. Water is $9. No.
Yeah.
it's cool. We did a Periscope from there when I was there on Empress of the Seas. Mm. And I'll put a link to the live blog that has a link to the Periscope. And people really enjoyed that. I went all the way up to their highest level, and then they brought out some stuff that you're actually not supposed to eat without mixing it in.
Wow.
Some extracts, and I ate that too.
Yeah, when you're up at the top range of their like 10s, 11s, 12s, you're no longer dipping a chip into something. The instruction is dip the end of this toothpick into the sauce, then make sure the toothpick goes onto your tongue, not onto your lips. Close your lips around the toothpick and like rub the top of the toothpick around your tongue.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm never in a million years going to do any of that, but it was fun to watch Billy do it.
That could be said for so many things. So next, and I think last on as far as this goes, Mary Ellen's. This was a place I don't see it really advertised much.
I've never heard of it.
I think several years ago, one of the times we were in Key West, we just asked a local, like, hey, where's a good place to get a sandwich? And they told us about Mary Ellen's. They have these awesome sandwiches there. Their fries are quite good. And they have a lot of different, back to sauces, but not hot sauces necessarily, but like homemade kind of different sauce blends to dip your fries or sandwich in. And a great beer selection, really friendly staff. It's generally not very busy. It is air conditioned. And I just think it's a great spot, to the point that I think ever since the first time we found it, we've gone back for a snack. So sometimes the touristy places, you know, hey, if you want to go to Sloppy Joe's, I'm not going to knock you. It's just I didn't think it was anything special. But I totally understand if somebody wants to hit up those really touristy and popular spots. But if you just want a really good sandwich, I like Mary Ellen's and good beer.
All right. Well, I may give that a shot. I've had Sloppy Joe's before, and yeah, I've had it.
Did it? Yeah.
Yeah. So Mary Ellen's might be a place I try out.
So I think that that rounds that out. We're going to share a bunch of links to different live blogs and other things in the show notes. You can always check that out over on cruisehabit.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Periscope, all the things. Just search Cruise Habit. We're easy to find. We broadcast almost every week from either Port Everglades, Port Miami, or live from Ships at Sea. And we've got some live blogs coming up very soon. We're going to be on Celebrity Edge. That's exciting. Rick and I are both going to be there at the same time.
Yeah, both
proving
of us
to celebrity staff that we're not the same person.
I think they know that. We just have the same first name.
Technically, yes.
Yeah, yeah, on our legal documents. Yeah.
So make sure you follow along for all that and more. And if you have questions, you can always reach out to us on social media. Like I said, just search Cruise Habit or email us podcast@cruisehabit.com.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, you can ask those questions in the podcast, and we may get to them on a future podcast.
Yeah, that is true. Only if I like the question. If not, I just send you a snarky response.
No, I'll make sure he doesn't do that.
Rick controls the email.
Yep.
Got it. Thanks for listening, guys. Look forward to talking ship with you again real soon.
Hi, this is Kayla Hildebrandt from Cincinnati, Ohio, a friend of cruisehabit.com. Follow the guys on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Subscribe to the Cruise Habit podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts. Search Cruise Habit in the Periscope app to join the live broadcast from Ship and Shore. They'd love to talk ship with you real soon.
Still there? One last thing. If you like the show, and we hope you do, leave us a review on iTunes. It'll help us get the word out. Thanks.